Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. What we see happening now in the nation of Israel is but a foretaste of the restitution or restoration of all things that God promised to the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob through his many prophets. God's word is true. Be ready for Jesus' soon return. Believe his gospel. Repent. Be converted today, and you shall be saved. Please open your Bible to Acts chapter 3 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola completes his study of verses 17 through 26.
Here is the grace of God. Peter declares to these Jewish people, "You've crucified him in your ignorance, but today you can turn around and get it right with God." The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews and in 2 Corinthians that today is the day of salvation. Today is, and it may be, and I praise God that it will be. For those of you who may have been raised religious, today may be the day of your salvation. You cannot convert yourself. You cannot save yourself. You cannot redeem yourself. Religion doesn't save you. Ceremonialism doesn't save you. Ritualism doesn't save you. Good works do not save you. Salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone. Titus says it's a washing of regeneration, and it's a renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he sheds on us abundantly. When you're born again, the Spirit of God comes to dwell in you, and he now begins to work in you to change you and to conform you into the image of Jesus Christ. Repentance. Repentance is godly sorrow, and repentance is music in heaven. It's music in heaven. When you read Luke 15, the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son. Jesus says three times that when a sinner repents, that there is joy in heaven. Joy in heaven. Now, I used to think, well, that is what happens when someone is converted. That's when they sing. I believe that when you and I repent, heaven is going, yes, they get it. They got it. There's joy in heaven among the angels, among the redeemed, when sinners repent. And it's a lifestyle, beloved. It's a lifestyle of putting off the old man, putting on the new man. It's a lifestyle of repentance. Being a Christian is not turning over a new leaf. The other side of the leaf is just as dirty as the one you turned over. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Isn't that true? When you're born again, all things become new. You don't become perfect, but you become new. You are quickened. You are made alive. You see things that you never saw before. You hear things that you never heard before. You are a new creature. And notice that he says, the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. That word refreshing can also mean a time of rest. When you come to saving faith in Jesus Christ, you enter into his rest. It's a glorious rest. It's a time of refreshing. Jesus said in Matthew 11, it's not going to be on the screen, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy." The word easy there means pleasant, delightful, suitable. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's the invitation of Christ to a multitude of people who were coming to him. He says to them, you come to me, I will give you rest. There is no rest in religion. There is no rest in any kind of self-reformation. There's only rest in Jesus Christ. On the day of Pentecost, remember when the Spirit of God was poured out, there were these people from various areas speaking to them in unknown tongues, the message, the wonderful works of God. The prophet Isaiah said in chapter 28, beginning in verse 11, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. There's a rest for you and I today in Jesus Christ. There's a refreshing for you and I today in Jesus Christ. And there is the reminder that Christ is coming again. Notice what he says, he shall send Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is coming again. You believe that? He is coming again. He shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution or restoration of all things, until the time which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. So not only is there redemption, there is also restitution or restoration. God not only redeems, he restores. And I'm so glad for that. Old Testament prophecy speaks of near and future issues that God will fulfill. Every prophecy that the Lord has ever spoken will be fulfilled. None will go unfulfilled. As we will see when we break bread together today, the Lord promises us that we will drink it new with him in the kingdom. So we're looking forward to that kingdom, aren't we? We're looking forward to being in the millennium. We're looking forward to being with the Lord in that eternal state. But we're in the kingdom now. We're in the kingdom here. And there are many prophecies in the scripture that we have seen fulfilled. We have read that have been fulfilled. Many of those unfulfilled prophecies speak of the last days and how God will sovereignly work in the nation of Israel and among the Jewish people. You read in Ezekiel chapter 6, the mountains of Israel are cursed. Ezekiel chapter 36, God speaks to the mountains of Israel in the last days, and they're going to come alive. And a land that was once almost like a swampland and a barren land is going to come alive. And we've seen that happen, haven't we? If you've been to Israel, you see it. It's come alive. Ezekiel 37, there's a vision of Israel being dry bones, and God's going to speak to those dry bones and speak life to them. The prophet Isaiah says in chapter 66, verses 8 and 9, who has ever heard of such a thing? Shall a nation be born in a day? And from our perspective, that's exactly what happened in 1948. A nation was born in a day. That was not the ultimate fulfillment. That is kind of like, hello, I'm coming. The Lord is coming soon and very soon. He's not done in fulfilling the prophecies that he gave to the nation of Israel. All of the land promises he will fulfill. All of them he will fulfill. It's far greater than what they have right now. But he's going to fulfill the promises that he made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because he made an olam, everlasting promise to them, that land. This phrase, restitution of all things, some actually take it to mean that one day every person is going to be saved. Even the demons and Satan is going to be saved. There's a problem with that. The Bible doesn't teach that. And these are just dreamers. There is a place called hell. And I know it's not a popular topic, but it is a topic that needs to be mentioned. There is a judgment. And at judgment day, people will be going to heaven. People will go to hell. There is no third place. There is no purgatory. There's no other land. There's no other place to go. There's no reincarnation. Today is the day when you must make your calling and election sure. Today is the day of salvation. The Bible talks about everlasting fire, Matthew 25:41, prepared for the devil and his angels. And who else will go there? Those who reject God's gospel of Jesus Christ, who say no to the command to repent. And so in verse 22, Peter continues, he says, "For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of or from among your brethren like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people." Jesus is the prophet that Moses spoke about. And Moses wrote that someone of our race, of our nationality, is going to come on the planet in the last days. Those who hear him will have life. Those who reject him will perish forever. John 3:36, "He that believeth on the Son has everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth or remains on him or her." And so Peter here is proclaiming the gravity of Scripture being fulfilled by Jesus Christ and our responsibility to that message. The message that God has for this planet is repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Jesus is the only hope for our nation. Jesus is the only hope for this planet. Jesus is the only hope for this world. And that's why the gospel has to be preached everywhere and to every person. You know, already the logs of political political realm are being put into the fireplace and everybody's getting all stoked up for the next election. And yes, we should vote and certainly we should pray for our leaders because whether they're a donkey or an elephant, neither one of them is going to change the climate of what's going on planet Earth. The only way that you're going to change the morality or a Godward morality on this planet is when people repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not just by pulling a lever. You can't legislate holiness. Now, we should vote for right things, and I believe we need to, but the only way you're going to change, what changed you? Whoever was the president when you got saved? The Congress? No, Christ changed you. That's how the climate changes, when people repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, just look at this group. Do you think we would all be together if it wasn't for Jesus Christ? Lord, have mercy on us. Christ has changed us. You believe in the power of the gospel to change someone? Amen. Look at us. If it wasn't for him, we wouldn't be here. And so now Peter says, Moses, whom the Jews revered. They revered. And they would read and hear about Moses, but they never turned to him. And now Peter is telling them that the one you crucified ignorantly is the Christ, is the Messiah. And then he says in verse 24 and 25, "Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days." Hebrews 1 talks about how God in these last days has spoken unto us in his Son. So with the advent of Christ, the last days, the final days of mankind, the clock has been ticking. Now, we measure time by years and decades and generation. So 2,000 years for us, that's a long time. For God, it's nothing. Day with the Lord is a 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. But I can tell you this, God's time clock is accurate, and it's ticking, and he is coming again. All of the prophets foretold of these days, and you are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. And Peter goes back to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, to remind them of a promise that God made back then that they forgot. Isn't it great in the sense that we may forget promises of God, but he never forgets? That was the promise, that God never intended his covenant blessing to be for the Jews only, but also to include the Gentiles. Paul writes about this in Romans chapter 11, beginning of verse 24. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, so the Gentiles, people like myself or you with non-Jewish blood, we're the wild ones. They're the natural branches. It says, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, notice again, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. You hear what God says? God is now talking to the Gentiles who were saying, listen carefully, God's through with the Jewish people. That's why we're saved. That's why we are born again. He's rejected them. And Paul is saying, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that's a gross error. That's a misunderstanding of Scripture. God is not through with the Jew. They're temporarily, not eternally, blind. Paul was a Jew. Peter was a Jew. And there are Messianic Jews today. But there is a time when the fullness of the Gentiles, or the times of the Gentiles, as prophesied in the Old Testament, will be fulfilled. And then, when Christ returns and sets up his kingdom, all the promises that he gave to the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he's going to fulfill them. Every land promise, he's going to fulfill them. So he says to them, the deliverer is going to come. And he's reminding them of the covenant that God made, a covenant where he says, I will take away your sins. But in verse 26, he makes this appeal, unto you first God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Unto you first. When Paul wrote his epistle to Rome, in Romans 1, 16 and 17, we read that he said these words, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Not ashamed. Not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me before men, I will be ashamed of you. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. That's how wretched we are. It takes the power of God to regenerate us. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone, what? That believes. Now, to believe biblically also means to repent. To believe means to repent. You will find in the gospel of John where we are urged to believe, believe, believe. The word repent is not found one time in the gospel of John. But every time you're urged to believe, you're urged to repent. So the two go hand in hand. To believe in Christ is to repent of your sin. It's the power of God to salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. There's a parable in Matthew chapter 22 of a wedding feast. And an individual sought to get into the wedding feast, and then he was marked and goes, hey, wait, how'd you get in here? You got on dirty garments. More than likely, that was an individual who believed because they're a good person, they work hard, maybe you went to church, just get the whole list, the rich young ruler list, remember? But he didn't have on the right garments. You know why? To enter heaven, you need to have the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ given to you. And that is given to you when you repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That very moment, God imputes to you the righteousness of Christ, and now you are the righteousness of God in Christ. That's your wedding garment. Praise God. You see, because he is not only the perfect high priest, he is the perfect sacrifice. And in the Old Testament, when you brought a sacrifice to the temple or to the tent, it was the sacrifice that was inspected, not the person bringing the sacrifice. When you stand before God, you and I enter the kingdom of God because of Christ, the perfect sacrifice. He's not inspecting me. I'm in him. And you're in him. Praise God for that. 10 of you are thrilled. Praise God for that. That is good news. Just read Hebrews. We are in him. We are righteous. Not because of who we are. Because there is none righteous, no, not one. All sin and fall short of the glory of God. It's Christ who has done it. And notice the blessing is being turned away from your iniquities. How many of you have found that when you came to Christ? How many of you have found it to be so that I think I'm speaking for probably most of the people here. I was doing my level best in ignorance to kill myself until I came to salvation in Jesus Christ. I was doing my level best. Now, I wasn't a very nice boy, but I was doing everything that you could do to kill yourself. And then, but I thought I was going to go to heaven. You know why? Because I was baptized when I was 6 weeks old. That was my ticket. And then, at that moment of rebirth, one of the things that hit me so hard, was that I didn't have to live the way I used to live. I didn't have to turn to the things that I used to turn to alleviate the fears, the anxiety, the lack of fulfillment within. Christ came in and did it all. And that's what he does. He's the one that gives you refreshment and rest and peace. And yes, we all battle in this world. In this world, you're going to have tribulation, but in Christ, you and I have peace. And what a time to have the peace of God in a world that's going as crazy as it's going right now. What a sweet thought it is to know that through faith in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you can be righteous and made whole today. You can be righteous and made whole. And it is by God's grace, through repentance and faith in Christ, that he will give you perfect soundness today. Redemption and restoration all the way through Scripture. Right from the beginning there, right from Genesis chapter 3, of course, from the foundation of the world prior to, there's a message of redemption and restoration. And that's what happens when you come to Christ. There are things maybe that you had lost, that you had suffered. And God is the God who still restores. Maybe not everything in this life, but he does restore, doesn't he? The year that the yanker worm, the canker worm and the locust and all of those other nasty insects that Joel talks about, all of the things that were eating at us and robbing us of real life, he's taken away. Praise God for that. He continues to take away. Bless the Lord, oh
my soul, bless his holy. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
At Koinonia, we believe the church should support parents and help children grow into disciples of Jesus Christ. Light of the Lamb's Children's Ministry strives to keep the focus on preaching the gospel and teaching the Word of God, helping kids discover their spiritual gifts, and mobilizing them for the work of the ministry. Children's programs are available during Sunday services and kids clubs meet on Wednesday during the evening services at Koinonia.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.